I thought it was a joke, to be honest. I thought like somebody had mocked it up. Somebody posted a photo of beggars must be driven out of air, and I shared it with some of my friends. They thought it was a joke too, because it's got to the point where it's not, that's not news. That is blatant racism, blatant bigotry, blatant anti-poverty. It's just ridiculous. It shouldn't even be published.
So looking past the headline and actually going into the article, what do you think about that?
It's in Save Our Town. I don't think that getting rid of people who are vulnerable is going to save the town. There's much bigger issues behind that. Where are you going to send people that are already homeless? It can't make up its mind if it's anti-Eastern European, it's going to be xenophobic, or if it's just against people who are lone wolf Scottish scoundrels, whatever that means. So it doesn't really have any sort of purpose apart from maybe somebody's got a bee in their bonnet about poor people. It's got 9-10 comments, 8 of which are men over the age of 50 and a Tory. So again, there's no balance here. So it's really, they're calling it an expose, but in terms of investigative journalism, this is not. This is certainly just picking on people who are most vulnerable in society.
What do you think this does for the plight of homeless people in Ayrshire?
It does not. I mean, I was thinking about this when I was coming over to the studio. I mean, what is the audience for the Ayrshire Post? Are they trying to reaffirm an opinion, or are they trying to ignore opinions, or are they trying to say that this is something that we should be listening to? Because what it does for people that are homeless is it puts them in the position that they're the fault of the reason why Ayr High Street is a mess, when actually what's happened is their circumstances are based on the fact that social and political and economic factors are way more complicated than beyond just them being homeless or being put first. So what we need to think about here is why they're doing it in the first place. What is their prerogative? Why do they are supposed to feel like this is something that they should be reporting as news? So in terms of what it does for homeless people, it's not very good at all, and it's essentially perpetrating a myth that it's the fault of the most vulnerable that's caused the problems that we've got at the moment.
Do you think, you know, in, particularly in times like this and with the stuff that's happening in Paris at the moment, do you think it's pretty dangerous, you know, to be writing articles like that?
Absolutely. That was the other thing. This when I saw this article and I saw this headline and I saw this newspaper and saw what was happening in Paris at the same time, I just honestly, there's this real kind of, I think what we're going to find in 2015 is going to be a real confusion about what we mean by freedom of speech, the right of the press, what people should be allowed to publish. Now, I agree that we should have freedom of speech, but we should be thinking about what we're publishing and what's the importance of that publishing. Now, if they're supposed motivation was to be a local paper for local people, then it's long gone behind that. The local media is so changed in the age of social media. We're not getting our news from these rags anymore. We're getting them online. You know, we take the story of Kai the dog, for instance. That was like a positive news story about Ayr. It went viral across the world. Now, why isn't that on the front page? That's something that would boost the morale of the town rather than continue to focus on the negative things, which are things that are not going to disappear if we banish people into the corridors and darkness of life. You know, that's going to, if we send people away from the streets, then where are they going to go? They're going to get further and further into trouble, and they're going to be further and further stuff that we're not seeing.
And have you been watching how it's been unfolding on Twitter? Because they've come under a lot of criticism and they don't seem to be too bothered about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because if I was to consider Ayrshire Post's social media, especially because it's now connected to the Daily Record group, it's barely nothing. You know, it's not responding to any criticism. It doesn't believe that it needs to respond to any criticism, and it thinks it can say stuff like this and then bury its head in the sand. Unfortunately, social media has matured to the point where it's ubiquitous. If we're aligning it with the stuff that's happening in Paris, you know, people expect to watch events unfold on social media as well as mainstream media and as well as local media. If they're not listening to what people are saying, then they're going to become irrelevant very, very quickly. And as much as they hold the keys to the publishing, the bit of paper, they don't actually have the monopoly on news anymore. So all that's going to happen is that they're going to lose their readership. And I really do think that if they're going to continue down this route of publishing stories like this, then somebody should be held responsible and accountable for this. They can't just publish what they want like it's their own personal opinion.
Do you think that it's poor journalism for the fact that they have taken one story of a guy who admitted he gets the bus down for Glasgow and he's a professional beggar. Do you think that's wrong that they've based this whole article on these couple of people who make a decent living out of it and not real homeless people?
Yeah, I think they're obviously looking for those stories, and that you're going to get people that are quite blatant about everything, you know, that's the thing, but they're almost trying to find individuals to fit their narrative rather than looking at the bigger picture, because, you know, there's no lie, I mean, what's happening in AIR, there's a lot of like challenging times, but there's a lot of good things happening as well, but the town's in a sort of transformation period, so we are going to see, it's this idea that AIR's doomed, we have to save it, and you know what, if we just got rid of these homeless people, then it might return to the good old days, but unfortunately that's not going to happen. It's down to planning, it's down to economic decisions, it's down to local governance, it's down to national governance, it's down to Westminster governance, there's all these things going on, it's not just the people who are suffering the most that are the problem here, and because they've managed to find one or two and they're able to almost fit people that fit their narrative, then we're starting to see that that becomes the basis of the whole paper. And the Irish Post has made a, you know, it's been doing that for years, it's done it with people who have drug addictions, people with mental health problems, people with certain things going on in their life that are out with their control, rather than trying to report on the news in a way that's ethically sound, that's going to help the community and build trust in local journalism again.
These people that have got their comments in the paper, do you think they are a fair representation of society, given the fact that they're claiming in this paper that these beggars are making a lot of money? So there's quite clearly still some people out there that are sympathetic towards homeless people's cause.
Yeah, I hope they would be, but it's really difficult because you're fighting this dominant wave. If you're the person in power and you've got access to the means of providing information, so you're the editor who gets to print what decide what's going in the newspaper that then goes out weekly to the whole region, then you've got more like power than say somebody that's going, hold on a minute, I work for a homeless shelter, or I work in alcohol and drug services, or I work in mental health services, who actually deal the day in, day out people in recovery. Or you don't get the nuances of that. You get, look at these people, yada yada yada. It doesn't give any other information, and actually shuts down the dialogue rather than opening it up to how we can like maybe help people in society, rather than just telling them to like go away. We don't want them in there. We'll just shut the doors. I would like to see this as a lesson. I don't want to see the end of local media. I want to see local media diversify. I think some great opportunities on the horizon where the kind of combination of community-led media, citizen-led media, social media, plus the sort of more established organisations who exist already, who have got the history and the reputation to carry these stories, are actually challenging this sort of stuff. And I think we should be asking questions about why this is, rather than just going, oh, well, the paper said it. And I've had that my entire life.